Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the Dot Daddy Podcast. Today is December 5th, 2024, and I am here with KRT SMP all the way in Birmingham, England. What's up, KRT?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. And I'm saying KRT, even though his name is Christian, because you introduced yourself. I met you at Meeting of the Minds. You said, you can call me KRT. That's fine. You know what it reminds me of, though? I was thinking, sounds like one of Elon Musk's kids, you know, because all the acronyms.
Hey, I'll take that. The bank balance doesn't say it, but I'll take it.
Right? I know. I had met you at Meeting of the Minds. What did you think about it?
It was big. It was, I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't. After going to the Manchester one, and then went to the New York one, it was just a bigger scale. I mean, it was the first time I've been to America, first time I've been to New York, Times Square. It was overwhelming. It was good. It was exciting. But yeah, man, the event was brilliant.
That's great. And I guess on your way over, were you nervous? Was anybody else on the plane? Like, did you know anybody?
Not that I knew of on the plane. It was me and my wife. We flew over. My little girl stayed at home. So it was kind of like a nice little trip for us as well. And then, like I say, when we got there, it was overwhelming. It was big. It was exciting. And then I couldn't wait to meet everyone else who I'd been talking to leading up to it. So that was a really exciting part to meet other people I've been talking to since their last event.
I feel the same way. And people that you see online, right, on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, you know, just, you know, I've been messaging people for years and talking to them or texting and or even on the phone, and to put a face and, you know, meet them in person, I think is, that's probably my favorite part, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's great to meet up with the ones that you've been chatting with, but then also just making new connections, people who you may have seen online but never met in real life. Like you, we'd never met before. We'd spoken maybe a couple of times, you know, the odd message on like Instagram or a comment on a piece of work that we might have done or a client. So then actually you put that face to a name. Yeah, it's cool, mate. It's really cool.
Agreed. So I saw recently that you did a training with My Beauty Academy. Now, what is My Beauty Academy and how'd you get involved with it? Because it looked like there's a bunch of girls there. I don't know how your wife felt. I'm kidding. I know you're a loyal man. I briefly met your wife, but you know, there was a lot of pretty girls there. And it just looked like you. I think there's one or two other dudes. How did you get involved in that? What is it?
That's something so cool. So the company, the academy, is run by two women called Luba and Julka. And they run an academy for beauticians, essentially. And what they do is they'll get people in from overseas or locally, depending on the talent. And they've created something where people can go there and they can learn. They can maybe learn whether it's doing lips, doing eyeliner, whether it's doing nails, all these different type of beauty treatments. And what they didn't have was anyone who did SMP. And they contacted me probably like 2.5 years ago now. And it was really out of the blue. It was a text message and it was from Julka saying, "Hi, this is Julka." I was playing golf at the time. And she was saying, "Hi, this is Julka. We would love to fly you to Italy to you know, show your technique." And truth be told, Joey, I was playing golf. It popped up on my watch. I was like, that don't sound genuine. That don't sound right. Carried on playing. Got a coffee at the end of the round and then thought, I better have a look into it. Who is My Beauty Academy? So I went on Instagram, first put a call, had a look, and I was like, okay, this is real. Like, you know, they've got a lot of followers. Not that that means anything, but they've got a good foundation, a good Instagram account, a good website. And I thought, this is real. Like, how cool is this? So reached back out to them, said, let's get a FaceTime call and let's get something in place. And 6-7 months later, after kind of back and forth, how we're going to do it, who we're going to aim it at, what's it going to be for, the first one was done. And since then, the one you saw, that was my fourth time that I've been there in just under 2 years.
Wow, so you're doing this like every 6 months?
Yeah, pretty much.
And they're paying for your trip They're
travel, flights, accommodation, and food.
And do you get paid? You don't have to tell us the details or numbers, but do you get paid to do the training, or you're not just pro bono type
stuff? Yeah, absolutely. So when I first got the call and when we first had a chat and the first time I went out there, I didn't know this was going to be a long-term thing. Like, I really, really didn't. That wasn't, I don't know if it wasn't the plan. I just didn't know how it was going to pan out. So they flew me, my wife, my little girl, and my mum over.
Oh, that's good. They took your daughter too. That's great.
Yeah. It was brilliant. So we didn't know if it was going to be a long-term thing. We didn't know. So we just thought, we'll all go over there. I'll do my work. How amazing. And then kind of the money that we made from it, we just spent in Milan. So it was kind of like, let's just enjoy the moment. You know, let's just enjoy it. How exciting, you know, going overseas to do the work that I love. How cool. And then day two, they gave me a little note. And they're like, these are the dates that we've got for the next one if you want to come back. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, this is amazing. And since then, they've been so, so good. They constantly keep in touch with me. We're constantly talking with our previous trainees. That's important. You know, it's not just a case of training in this big group and then leaving them to it. That is something that I would be comfortable with. So we have WhatsApp group that we message back and forth, and we put in different clients that they may have had or have troubles with, or potential clients, or any questions about potentially ink dilution or needle choice. So it's a constant back and forth, which is so, so cool. And like I say, Luba and Jorka, they gave me the opportunity to go out there, and it's just been such a success since. Really, really has.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and the fact that they picked you, because I'm sure they had, obviously England has a lot of options, right? There's a lot of really, really talented people in England.
Yeah.
And they chose you, and you got a good fucking deal, dude.
Yeah. No, it's so cool, man, honestly. And like I say, ever since we've spoke, they've just been amazing. They've been so good to me.
Do most of these girls do like, I guess they're already PMU.
They're not all girls. They're not all girls. Come on, Joey.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. Most of these human beings, are they already kind of in the business, or is this their first time?
Yeah. No. So it's not fundamentals. It's not complete basic. I wouldn't be able to teach 14, 15 people basic SMP on my own in 3 days. Not a chance. It's... So they've got background, and they have to kind of come through the academy. They have other people that travel to and, you know, into it, but a lot of people will start at this academy, and they might start off doing, I don't know, lips, for example. They might start doing powder brows. They might do all these different machine type treatments, and then they can kind of work their way up to SMP. But it's minimum PMU, you know, required. It isn't anyone just off the street. It's not anyone brand new. It's people who have either got their own place or renting somewhere and kind of, you know, involved in the industry, and then wanting to add SMP as a service for their treatments.
Okay, that makes sense. I saw you're also going to New Zealand with Willie and Hayden are going to be there. That's exciting. Have you ever been to New Zealand?
No. It's huge. I'm so excited for that. It's something that Willie Boy and Hayden, I think, had set up originally. Their conversations were about it, and then me and Willie Boy talked quite a bit, and he reached out and said, you know, I want you to jump on this, it'll be good. Me and you will go out there, and Caitlin, she's a stone's throw away from Hayden on the grand scheme of things, and Hayden was taught by Caitlin. So we kind of put it all together and thought, you know, we've got four artists who each bring something different. You know, myself, I do training throughout Europe and beyond. And Caitlin's been in the game forever. She's so knowledgeable. And then you've got Willie Boy, who is so underrated, I think, within the SMP industry. He's such a phenomenal artist. But he doesn't do much training. That's not his path. So the fact that he's bringing that to the table, obviously myself, Hayden, who is... He won't mind me saying this. He's new in the game. You know, he's new in the game, but he's doing so well. He's doing so well. His work is beautiful. He takes his time. And more importantly, he's a good guy. He's a really cool guy. He's someone who is really good to be around. He gives really good energy. So the fact that four of us are going to be there, it's going to be a really big class. And whoever's booking onto it, we've had six people book onto it already, which is really cool. So it's going to be amazing. I cannot wait.
And so, Christian, are you and Willie or any of them, are you guys on any teams or anything, any of these brand teams?
Yeah, so Willie Boy is on Bishop team. Caitlin, I believe, is also on the Bishop team. I'm not on any team, and I'm not sure Hayden is. Yeah.
And so, and why aren't you on any team? Why? What do you got going on?
I mean, I suppose in terms of teams, Bishop is what I use. Bishop is what I use. So their machine is, in my eyes, the best. The needles, in my eyes, and my experience and my results are the best. I'm a big, big fan of Bishop. I've tried lots of other different machines and needles and whatnot, but Bishop is the one I go to. Regarding ink, I've just launched my own. It's called Aurum, which is just here. I've got my camera right just there. Aurum. This is Aurum, Latin for gold, Joey. Latin
and how do you gold. How do you spell that?
A-U-R-U-M. Okay. Yes. And to be honest, this was a collaboration. This is a collaboration between my beauty academy and myself. That's what I'm saying. These two women, Luba and Julka, they're just so amazing. They have got a sister company called My Alchemy, which is a pigment brand, and they create all of their own pigment for all the treatments and academy that they have within their academy. The only line of pigment they don't have is SMP. Now, obviously, me working alongside them, they reached out to me about 10 months ago and said, we want to create a pigment together. And I said, okay, you know, and we went back and forth, and they sent me a few different bottles of prototypes that we used. You know, it's all pretty much the basic ingredients that we all know, with a few tweaks here and there. So we sent a few back and forth, and we dismissed one of them, and one of them wasn't right. And then the one I was happy with, I've been kind of using alongside another brand that I use. And yeah, it was released a week ago. But there's always a but. This isn't released to general sale. This is...
What does that mean?
This is exclusively for anyone who's trained with myself, or anyone who's trained with myself at my beauty academy. So this is kind of exclusive for all of my trainees for now. I want to get all of their feedback. I want to get their results coming in. I want to get their opinion when it comes through. And then when we're ready, if we're ready, we'll put it out to the rest of the artists. But
are you going to be willing to ship to the US? Because obviously it costs more money to ship overseas.
Yeah. When the time is right, yeah. This collaboration isn't to take on the giants in the industry. It's not designed for that. It's not another ink to rival the big boys, if you will. This is just a collaboration that me and my beauty academy have put together, something I'm really proud of, something I'm really honored to be a part of. So it's slow and steady. It's, you know, just for me, just for my trainees. We're going to use it. We're going to get good results from it. I'm going to start to build that kind of portfolio for the ink. And if there is a demand, we'll put it out there. If there isn't, then there isn't. But it's not to rival the big boys. It's purely a real personal kind of opportunity.
Great. Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Thanks,
man. Cheers. And I hope you're able to take it to whatever level you want.
Yeah, that's it.
What's up, SMP World? It's Chris with the Blends Protein. A lot of people are switching over to our products. The most realistic results are being put out using Blends products. These products were made for artists by artists. We want to make you a believer. Here's 20% off your first purchase. Use
Dot Daddy
Podcast. blends for the most natural results in the world.
Now, I'd seen your story. We had even talked backstage. I was, behind you while you're getting all pumped up to go on stage and that whole thing. And that was great. And I loved your speech. I loved everything you went over, but I kind of want to start from the beginning. So where did you grow up?
So I grew up in a city called Lichfield. I lived there with my mum and dad, older brother, younger brother. Oh gosh, till I was 18, 19. And then moved out into a two-bed house with my friend that we rented. And we just used it as kind of like a place where we would just sleep and then work and then go out and party and then come back and just kind of rinse and repeat that over and over.
Continue partying at your place.
Lichfield, that's where I was brought up.
Lichfield. Yeah. Were you a good kid, Christian? Were you a bad kid?
You know what? I'd say I was. We all have different backgrounds, which was a really good thing that, you really went into yours and you really opened up on stage. So that was amazing. Whereas, like I say, everyone has different backgrounds. My background was kind of boring in a good way. I didn't have any troubles. I didn't have any kind of violence around me. I didn't have anything like that. So it was a kind of really nice upbringing. I had friends around me. We played in the street. We played football down the park. Didn't get into trouble. So it was a really nice upbringing, something it doesn't happen that often. So yeah, I had a good upbringing.
I love to hear that. Now, did you play any sports? Are you an athlete?
Football. Yeah, football. Football's my thing.
Soccer for the Americans. Soccer for the Americans.
Oh, yes, soccer. Touchdown. I don't know. It's NFL. So soccer. I can't say soccer, Joey. Football.
I know. It makes sense. You're kicking the ball with your foot. It makes sense.
Football.
I don't know why it's called soccer. I don't know.
I love it. So, yeah, football. Football from a young age. I played a pretty good standard. I played semi-pro.
You played
crazy.
Semi-pro soccer, football?
Yeah.
Oh, football. Shit.
Yeah, but nothing crazy. It wasn't hundreds and hundreds of pounds a week. It was nothing like that. It sounds better than what it does, truth be told. I got paid £75 a week. I got paid £5 per goal. But it was good. It was a good standard of football. And in England, in the kind of tier systems of football, that was decent. I played Saturdays. We played a good little stadium. So it was nothing crazy. But it was
this while you were living in the house with the, two of your other friends?
Yeah. So this was, And it was kind of like Monday to Thursday, we would kind of like work and go to the pub. And then Friday, we wouldn't. And then Saturday, I got my game. And then after the game, we would then drink and then go into Sunday. But yeah, I was decent. I was all right. Played okay.
That's good. What kind of work did you do when you weren't playing football? Like, what was your actual job when you were 18, 19?
I've always worked in gyms.
Gyms? So, okay.
Yeah, whether it be kind of membership sales, I would then go into national sales where I'd travel up and down the country and I'd go into different gyms under the same chain and I would implement different sales techniques or how to deal with clients and customers and focus on the client's journey, which is kind of what I've then put into this, I feel. I feel like it's transitioned really well. I would go in and, focus actually on the client that wants to join the gym, the reasons why are they there, what are they looking to achieve, what's their goal. So I would then implement these kind of sales and structures to the team that was there, and then just move on to the next kind of club and keep working my way around. But that, go on, sorry.
And how long did you do that for? This is when you were like 18?
So I did that until kind of off and on different places. The wife fell pregnant, which was the plan. And because I was traveling from different place to different place to different place, living in hotels, That was never like the option for me. You know, when the missus fell pregnant, it was like, right, we need to quit that job. I need to start working from, you know, more local, so I could be there.
So you met your wife while
in Ibiza.
Okay.
And in Ibiza, which is the best place in the world, by the way.
Do you know who Alex Hormozi is?
Ooh.
You probably see him online. He looks like a caveman, but he would go around to gyms. He was like this gym guy who then he scaled his business up, but he kind of started like that. He was going around to all these gyms, different acquisitions and stuff like that. So, but how long were you doing the gym thing? Was it 5 years, 10 years, 7 years?
How long was I doing that? So for the company that I was in, when I go for different places, probably like 4 years.
Okay.
About 4 years, but I loved it. I enjoyed it. It was so good. I loved the fact that I was away Monday to Thursday, company credit card, company car. I was a real diva, if you can imagine that. I wouldn't stay in a hotel unless it had a pool and a gym. You know, I wouldn't stay.
Well, if they're paying for it.
But mate, if they're paying for it, I'm staying in with the gym and the pool and all the sauna and the steam room. So yeah. I loved it. To be truth be told, if that was always going to be part of the plan, I would do that forever. I really, really enjoyed it. But the wife fell pregnant, which was the plan, and I didn't want to be away from any little bumps or anything like that. So I needed to be at home. So quit that job. I then worked at a local gym. Which was really good. I loved it. But then I was promised a promotion. I was promised a pay rise if I hit certain targets. I hit those targets, went into the meeting, and they said we don't have it in the budget to continue. So
damn.
I walked out there and then. Walked out, got the train home, and yeah, that was it. So I was then jobless. Yeah, just walked out. It felt really good. But, like, they promised me a pay rise, and it wasn't even that much. But they didn't, so I walked out, and it was one of them. It was meant to be. I walked out. I then got a job working from home. So I worked in our spare room, turned it into a bit of an office, nothing crazy. And I was then selling level 4 strength and conditioning courses, which is kind of like the next level after a personal trainer, you know, that further education. And it was good, you know, it was okay. And then it got to the point where, like, you'd get paid, they'd minus certain commissions if paperwork wasn't bang on or someone cancelled. And it was never really steady, but I was at home. And it just, you know, you're just working just to work. I wasn't living. There wasn't much money at the end of the month. Yeah, it wasn't great.
How old were you when you got married?
27.
And this was, and when did you find out your wife was pregnant?
About a year and a half after we got married. Maybe a year. Yeah. Okay. No messing here.
And so once you So you're working at this stay-at-home job. Is that around the time your daughter was born as well?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it literally was. And then kind of leading into working from home, like I said on stage in New York, I kind of had this, someone sent me a meme of this like before and after guy that had hair loss, and they saw it and he was like, oh, look at this, it's a tattoo. And because I've got tattoos, I kind of presume that's why he sent it. So obviously I've got SMP has never really, well, it's never been on my radar. I didn't know where it was. I've not got a clue. So I've never gone down that rabbit hole of hair loss and cures and results and solutions. So I was like, oh, no way, look at that. And then it kind of like algorithm popped in and started to see different ones. And to be honest, I saw really bad work. And whenever you Google SMP, you tend to see bad work. And I was like, there's no way people are doing this. There's no way people are doing tattoos on their heads to look like hair. It just doesn't kind of make sense. And then it kind of kept popping up. And I thought, you know what? I've seen some good results. There was a guy, I won't drop names. There was a guy in Canada And I saw his results all the time and thought, God, that's so natural. It looks good. It looks nothing like a tattoo. I reached out to him. He was really cool, a really nice guy. Took the time, which was the main thing, I think. You know, he took the time to reply to messages where obviously he's busy, didn't have to do that. So that, I'll always kind of remember that. And did a 3-day course. And
you did, you trained with someone in Canada?
No. I only spoke to someone in Canada.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to kind of delve into it a little bit. No, I did a 3-day training course with Kevin Langley in near Manchester, near Liverpool, north of where.
Okay. And what's the name of his company?
Kevin Langley, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it was KL Academy. Yeah. So I did a 3-day course. Terrified, truth be told. Never picked up a tattoo machine. Never worked with ink. Not very good at drawing. So it was new. It was to be honest with you, it felt like a gamble, I guess. Just a gamble. Just to try it. See if I like it. See if I'm good at it. And see if it could be something.
And this is coming from the gym. So you... Everything before was you were doing sales, gym related, working out, and you're like, you know what? This hair tattoo thing is kind of a good idea. I'm going to try it out. And you just kept investigating?
Yeah, pretty much. I was kind of like hooked on it, weirdly. Because like I say,
especially for a guy with hair. Especially
you
for
know
a guy
what I mean?
With
hair. Sorry, guys. Yeah, so it was kind of, I was just hooked on it. I think because I've got tattoos, you know, I kind of thought, how is that even going to work?
Yeah.
So I was kind of more intrigued and curious about it. And like I say, I did the course, and I didn't know what to expect, and I fell in love with SMP literally on that course, 3 days, and I was like, this is just unbelievable. This is so cool.
Did you train with anybody else, or is it just one-on-one?
There was me and a girl, so there was two people in the course. We did our 2 days worth of like theory and dot work and practice and melons, and then had our model on the third day. I still remember his name. I won't say his name, but I still remember him. I'm still keeping contact with him now, which is really cool.
Yeah,
pops up on my Facebook every now and then if it's his birthday or if he's done something. So that's really cool. And then just fell in love from there.
That's great. And I imagine you're probably his most successful student, right?
I'd say so, yeah.
I'm always curious about that because I'm not familiar with Kevin. Maybe if I've seen it, I'm not familiar with Kevin. Sorry, Kevin, if you end up listening to this.
He's a great guy. He's a really good guy. He's been in and around SMP for a long time. He's been in and around Meet the Minds in the early days with Damien, I believe.
Probably if I saw him, I'd recognize him.
Yeah, probably. His main focus isn't SMP now, truth be told. He's doing really well with his own laser machine company. He's doing really, really well with that. But yeah, I'd say I'm his top student, if that's such a thing.
yeah, I think it is. I ended up training with like Dan Nuremberg, and then I went with Giroux, and I also saw you went over to Giroux for a little bit. How were you able to get, sorry, a little sidetrack. We'll go back to your story.
No, you know what? Nuremberg, spoke to him quite a bit in the early days. And like,
did you?
Honestly, I've still got the messages, you know, and it was because I was like brand new, and Kevin Langley had said, you know, Daniel Nuremberg, really good artist, da, 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 da. So I thought, okay, cool, I'll message him. And again, I sent a couple of my, I mean, I look back on them now, God. I sent a couple of my, like, second sessions. And he was like, hey, man, this is a really good first session. Looking forward to seeing you next one. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm laughing. So he took the time to message. So that was cool, man. And I think because of the early days, you remember certain artists, like I said, the guy in Canada and him, and you think, you know, I don't know, you know, where you'd be if you hadn't spoke to them, but they were the kind of people who you looked up to and the kind of people who took their time to say, you know, keep going, well done, maybe work on this. So yeah, it was cool that you mentioned him. And Jonathan, yeah, I went out, obviously, Meet in the Minds, New York. And that was a strange one, you know, Joey, because I put it on my Instagram that, you know, I'm out in New York, can't wait, Meet in the Minds, I'm talking on stage, biggest moment in my career, it felt like, how amazing. And then this guy messaged me, I was like, hey, seen your work. If you're ever in America, let me know. I'd love to get treatment done. And I was like, well, I'm actually in New York in like 3 weeks. And it's like, oh, I live in New York. I'm like, come on, what's going on here? So I said, listen, you know, I can do your first session in America if we can get it set up. I didn't think it would be possible, but I thought, you know, cool would that be? Not only am I going to be on stage, it's Meeting the Minds, I'm in New York, and I'm going to do a treatment out there. Amazing. So I put it on Facebook, and I just put, got a client in New York. Is there any artist that, you know, can let me use their studio for a little bit? And Garo reached out pretty much straight away and was like, yeah, man, DM me. Let me know the dates and times, I'll get it set up. And that was it. Just bang, done.
That's great. Yeah, John's really cool like that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and I've told a few people that story, and they were like, how nice is it that another artist can kind of put aside the fact that a client is going to go to somebody else and he's going to let them use their studio and space and time. And so, yeah, it was, really, really nice of him. Really, really nice. He's such a cool guy I've never met before. We'd spoken a couple of times on Insta every now and then, but nothing crazy. So, yeah, it was really, really nice that he let me use his place.
Yeah, no, that's great. And John is, you know, I've met a lot of artists. I've talked to a lot of artists. And I'll say, and John is one of the most high profile artists. He's not a hater at all. He's not a hater at all. He's not worried about it because he's got plenty of people. You know what I mean? He's not.
And if anything, like he jumped in on my treatment to like, you know, he was looking in on it, like right next to me. Which is always a little nervous when you got Jonathan Garrow's just standing over.
I know.
Yeah, he was praising and he was saying, you know, this is going to look really good and the pressure size is really nice and I like the movement and, you know, the way that I kind of went about it. He was like, oh, you know, I might not have seen it like that before. That's cool. So it was really nice. And yeah, man, good on him. He's a really nice guy. So fair play. Appreciate it.
Shout out to John Jarrow. Shout out to Ink You. Thank you.
Yes.
A sponsor of the Dot Daddy podcast.
Yes.
When it comes to scalp micropigmentation, you need tools you can trust. That's where Ink You SMP products come in. Jade needles are designed for precision and durability, giving you consistent, flawless results every time. Pair them with Ink You Pigment, a rich, long-lasting formula your clients will love. Keep things smooth with Ink You Butter, perfect for soothing and protecting the skin. And finish strong with Antimicrobial Foam Cleanser for a clean, worry-free healing process. Ready to take your SMP game to the next level? Visit InkYouCare.com today. Ink You SMP products are made for artists by artists. Now, so once you complete your training, what do you do next?
So I'm going to create a logo. I didn't know
what to pick. That's very important.
You know what I mean? I didn't know what to pick. Maybe the... I don't know if it's an ego thing. I don't know at this point, but you know, if I can have my initials on something, it's me, it's who I am. So that was always kind of my thing. I like gold. So I kind of just ran with that. And then the first thing I did was go on Instagram and set up an Instagram account. I thought, okay, I am Christian Rainthrall. So KRT and I'm doing SMP. That's the plan. So KRT SMP, and that was it.
And it rhymes. It flows really good. It flows.
Yeah. And it's at the time, it was like KRT SMP, is that too much? Is it a bit like, you know, too many letters and stuff? But it sounds good now and it works. And it's kind of, it's crazy, Joe, because people call me KRT.
I call you KRT. It's like you're a rapper. That's how I got to think of it.
I can't rap, so do not ask me to rap, please.
But, you know, but it's like a rap name to me.
Yeah, yeah, but people do, like, mums and dads on a school run, they'll be like, oh, KRT, you're right. And, like, it's strange, but it's cool. I kind of like it.
So So did you start working immediately, like out of your house? Who was like your first customer you kind of were able to get? Was it a family member?
Okay. So my first client was my wife's cousin's husband. And I kind of said to him, we went around the house. And I said, oh, no, I'm doing this new thing now. And he was bold. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll have it done. And he was like, I'm like, yeah, that's even more pressure. And he's like, yeah. And I said, well, I ain't going to charge you. I'm not going to charge you. And he said, I'll tell you what, then we'll all go out for a meal once it's done. And that could kind of be my payment to you, which is cool. You know, wasn't expected, but it's cool. So I did his treatment and it was good. It was all right. I look back on it now and obviously it's not where I am now, but it was good. He was happy. And I think it gave me a bit of confidence. Because it was somebody that I kind of knew, and he was completely open. Like, you know, if you make any little mistakes, don't worry about it, which kind of put me at ease, put me at ease.
Was he Norwood 6? Was he totally bald?
He was like Norwood 12, mate. Honestly, it went on forever. It went on. Joey, I must have been on his head for like 6 hours, honestly, forever.
Did you blend into the sides? Did he have hair on the sides, or how?
I tried to. I gave it a good old go. No, he had a decent amount of existing hair, to be fair, but just a real good large surface area. Put it that way, and we got through it, and it was good. And he was super pleased, which is always the main thing. And then I didn't have any clients then for about a month. Maybe 2 months. So in that time, I built my own website. I don't know how to build websites, but I tried to build my own website and it was good. It was all right. And it was something that could accompany my Instagram, and it went on Google. So it kind of looked more professional as opposed to just me working out of a house, for example. And then from there, what happened from there? So my mum runs an aesthetics clinic, so she does kind of Botox and filler, and she's been doing it forever, like 18 years. Wow. And she's got her own place in Solihull, which is near Birmingham. Now I was at her clinic one day and the landlord came in and said, we've got another unit next door. I didn't know if you wanted to have first dibs and have a look at it. So I'm like, this is an opportunity. And like, mum being mum, she's like, don't get giddy, don't get too excited, because I'll get like, I'm like, yeah, let's have it. So she's like, just take a breather, have a look at it. So obviously I've got no income kind of happening really at this point. You know, this is just kind of, you know, a bit of a dream at the moment for it to be a good thing. So we went in and it's a big unit. And I was like, this is amazing. I can really see how it could look. So we said to him, you know, if we can have it for 3 months for free to do it up, paint it, start to put my touch on it. And then from kind of like after 3 months, we start paying rent. So he was happy with that, which was really cool. And then that was the next project. It wasn't so much focusing on the SMP at this point, truth be told. You know, it was more putting all the time into making this place look amazing and get it looking at how I want it to, while still trying to advertise for clients. And then it opened, did a launch party, you know, the whole balloons outside.
Oh, you had a launch party? Nice.
Yeah. I said earlier on in this podcast, I'm a bit of a diva, mate. I'm having balloons outside my place. And
nothing wrong with that. I have a similar thing with the 3 months. I negotiated 3 months too and all that.
You did, yeah. It gives you a bit of time, you know, so you're not straight away in the red. You know, you can try and...
And it's a business that never existed before. People don't even know what SMP is, you know? So marketing is a never-ending battle.
Literally. So we, had balloons out front. They were black and gold, obviously. And I had it over 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. And I tried to promote it as much as I can. And obviously got friends to come in to kind of bump up the numbers.
Nice.
And I actually, one of my friend's husband, he was like, yeah, I'll get booked in. So like day one, someone booked in. So I said, how cool is this? It's kind of happening, you know. And it was really good. And then And then tell you what happened then. COVID hit. Yeah. But this was the best thing that happened to me, COVID, in terms of my business. The best thing. Because it means I couldn't go to work, I couldn't go anywhere, and I just had to stay at home, obviously like everyone else in the world. So it gave me just hours and hours to practice. Practice on melons, practice on bananas, practice on latex, pigskin, which I just did practice over and over and over again. So I really do think, obviously COVID wasn't great, but in terms of business and my time, it means I could be at home, I could be with my family more, and I could practice loads.
Agreed. And now, I'm not sure how it worked in England, but since you weren't allowed to work, you weren't fired, you left your other job. Were you able to get, like in the United States with unemployment, I don't know, were you able to get any type of money?
Yeah, in England, you can, I can't remember if it was job seekers allowance or like a benefits that you could get. And basically, if you don't have a job, typically you can go to job seekers and they'll try and find you a job. And if they can't, in the meantime, they'll give you some money. Now, my wife's a barber. Laura, she's been a barber forever. I don't know even how long. She's had her own place for 14 years. So obviously she's self-employed. She doesn't have an income unless she's working. So she also was kind of, we were both on benefits, I suppose. That's terrible when you say that. But yeah, we were both getting income from the government. But
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
It was needed, you know. It was, it's not something we wanted. It's not something we would do before we were working or after we were working. But in that moment, it was a case where the government helped out. They were really good, to be fair. We got about £890 a month, which didn't cover bills, truth be told, but it went to it. And in that time, we spent time together as a family, and it was great. And my little girl was growing up at this point, which was brilliant. But yeah, on the business side and work side, it gave me just a massive opportunity just to practice dots, muscle memory, and just go over it again.
And you also probably spent a lot of your money, you know, renovating the place too, I assume. Like,
yeah,
you know, making changes.
It was. A lot of it was kind of done by me and the family, you know.
Oh, did so nice.
Yeah. We all chipped in. Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Like, the wife was painting. I was painting. My mum would help. My older brother might help. My younger brother was helping.
I love that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really good because it's, yes, I'm the face, and yes, it's my business and I do the work, but like behind it all, you'll know this, you're a family guy, yeah. You have people who are there who are supporting you and helping you, that people don't know about, which they don't need to, but I do. I know that they were there when they were helping. And then friends, you know, friends that have helped out that probably don't get a shout out. You know, I've got friends who are electricians who came in and helped. So it all came together for the project of KRT, I guess.
When did you start? So when did you finally pay someone to make your website?
Do you know what it was? It wasn't until about 2.5 years after I'd started.
Oh, wow. So you just ran with the one you made.
Yeah.
Did you use Squarespace or something?
I used, oh my God, what's it called? Ionos.
What's it called?
Ionos. I-O-N-O-S. Ionos.
I never heard of it. But, okay. Yeah. Well, nice.
And it's all right. It did the job. I could add little sliders for before and afters, and it was basic enough, but it seemed to have worked.
Yeah.
To be fair, I had Team Micro on my back weekly asking to make me a website. Sorry, Damien. But yeah, it's when I then had it kind of updated, I had a client. This is kind of fast forwarding a little bit now. I had a client and we were just getting to know each other. And he was like, yeah, you know, I'm starting out doing website design. And I was like, do mine. You know, we've all got to start somewhere, just like I did. He was starting out. He was keen. He was super enthusiastic. He really wanted to do a good job because I'd done a good job for him. So, yeah, he did. But truth be told, I'm actually looking for a website designer now because he's finished. So any website designers, can you let me know?
I mean, I looked at your website before we came on. I thought it was really well done, to be honest.
Yeah, that's why my client did that. And I actually messaged him 3 or 4 days ago, sent him a voice note saying, hey, man, you know, can you add a shop onto my website? Because I'm going to be putting my trainees who can jump on and grab it. And he was like, oh, man, I'm not doing it anymore. I was like, okay, I need to find a website designer. So, yeah, that was kind of fast forward with that. But, yeah, COVID hit, practice loads, and throughout COVID kind of still advertised that, you know, when the time's right, when the doors are open, we're taking on clients. Here's a before and after for the couple of people that I've done. Got loads of content from them to kind of help build that portfolio. It's always the hardest part when anyone starts, and I tell my trainees, it's the hardest part. You're not going to make thousands and thousands of pounds. You just won't. But if you can get past the money side of it and you do it for the love of the art and the love of the results and the reactions of your clients, the money follows.
Agreed.
Money follows.
Agreed. And yeah. So were you able to, did you start making some sales? I mean, after that 3 months is up, you're like, fuck, I got to pay rent. Now, yeah, I mean, yeah. Were you able to start making some sales?
No. Truth be told, no. So I leaned on family for, you know, money and rent and things like that. It wasn't like dire straits, but, you know, my wife would help out. I mean, we're a team, so her money's my money's her money kind of thing. We've always worked like that. But, you know, I leaned on my mum if I needed help. It was all for like, it was a weird one because it was all for like the greater good of what it could be without us knowing how far it could go. And like I say, with COVID, when that hit, it was practice, practice, practice. And then throughout that, I started to gain some clients when the doors are open. So when they were open, I had a couple of clients to go into. And because I'd done the practice leading into it, I felt confident. I felt, okay, I got this. You know, I know how I feel the depth should be. I know what movement I should do. I know the voltage and the pressure. I know, I felt like I knew or was in a better place anyway, going into that client off the back of COVID.
It's scary when you get your first person and you're by yourself, right?
Terrifying. Yeah. Honestly, it is terrifying.
And you're by yourself. No trainer, nothing, just you.
And the thing is, the more experienced artists will look at their kind of ink dilution and they might look at a 28:1 to a 26:1 and know that there probably isn't a huge amount of difference. But when you're brand new and you're deliberating one shade to the other and there's not much in it, it's the biggest thing in the world. It's terrifying. It is terrifying. And I say that to my trainees, you know, it's scary as fuck. I don't know if we can swear, but it's scary.
There you go.
And it's, so what I do like to do for the trainees that I have had who do want the additional kind of help, which is always there, you know, let me know when your first client is. And they'll message me and go, I've got my client in an hour. So then my phone's always in my hand, like literally, it is always here. So, look at that screensaver. So it's always on hand, you know, if a client can then message and go, I've got this guy, what do you think? Or, you know, what dilution or what needle do you think? And I won't tell them. I'll put it back on them and say, you know, what do you think? I need you to tell me. You've got to be on your own a little bit, but I'm here for kind of guidance if needed. So, yeah, man, it's scary. It's so scary.
What dilution would you use on your own skin? If you had to do you, what would you do?
Where would I start?
Yeah.
What brand of ink?
Well, on your new ink, what would you use?
I would start with probably properly shaved down hair, probably 28, 26:1, something around the top scale.
Okay. Yeah. And you and I both know a couple drops doesn't make that much of a difference.
It doesn't make a difference, but in the moment,
it's scary.
You got that client sitting there, it's the moment. I remember mine. I was terrified.
Yeah.
And then I did it and it was done. And I was like, I enjoyed bits of it. And then when it was finished, I was like, thank fuck for that. And then I had a massive headache for like 2 hours. I don't know if other artists were experiencing this. When I first did my first few sessions on clients, I'd go home and I had a raging headache. And I'd like, I need a nap.
I did my, when I did my first, my friend alone, I was using a 1-round liner and I did it and his head was so red and it was like not showing up. And I was using the lightest thing because I was paranoid. And I didn't have the needle fully extended. I was like, oh, shit, it was just a little nub.
Oh, it goes out.
I was like, why the fuck isn't this work? I was getting so frustrated. But thank God it was just a 1-round liner, so there was no blowouts. It just wasn't showing up. But he just had all these red dots.
It was natural, bro. It was well good.
The reason why I asked you the dilution thing is one of the things I do, I don't know if you do it when you're training people, but to help them, I'll say, if I was going to do SMP on you, no matter, you know, female, male, doesn't matter, I'd be like, this is the breakdown I would use on you. So then that gives them kind of a guide, you know? Okay, so if I'm this person I'm working on is darker than me, so I'm going to change it to this level.
Yeah, we do that. We do examples. So we'll do like 3 or 4 different examples of different clients and different scenarios, you know, whether it's hairline, whether it's density, whether it's FUE, whether it's alopecia. We kind of go through different examples of who it could be and what it could be and how we would approach it, which is important because everyone is from different parts of the world. Everyone has different backgrounds. Everyone works on different clients, depending on different areas sometimes. So it's good to have kind of fundamental basics of different clients that are going to be sitting in your chair.
Oh, yeah. I have such diversity. I mean, where I'm at. I'm fortunate for that. I'd say I'm fortunate that. But I was talking to Keith, and he was like, I was like, I hate working on red-haired, freckled people. He's like, that's all I work on.
Great guy. My clients tend to be kind of white guys, truth be told, majority of the time, not through the area, but more through the results that I create and achieve. And obviously I post them on my social media and it kind of attracts the same kind of client. So yeah, mines tend to be kind of, you know, you're very typical 25 to 45 year old white guy, and he wants a real natural hairline and nothing crazy and undetectable, which is kind of what I enjoy doing the most. So I kind of pick up the same kind of clients all the time, really.
Yeah, they seek you out. They're like, well, this person kind of looks like me. He did a good job on him, so I'll go to him. And it makes sense.
Absolutely. And it's good. It's good. I love it. Like, natural hairlines is what I love doing, truth be told. It's where I see.
Big news for the SMP world. Follicule has just dropped their new scalp pigment. It's bigger, better, and made with Hanafi Color Pigments, one of the largest pigment manufacturers in the world. Not only is this pigment backed by world-class expertise, but they are giving you more of what you need. That's right. Their new, bigger bottles mean you have enough pigment to do 20 to 25 sessions in just one bottle. And because you're part of the Dot Daddy podcast community, we're offering you an exclusive deal. 15% off all pigments and aftercare products when you use the code DOTDADDY at checkout. Take your SMP game to the next level with Follicule Pigments. Go to the Follicule website. Get it now.
Can I ask you about the natural hairline, which is probably, I'd say, I don't want to say it's the most difficult because it is. I think there's the straight line edge up is difficult in a different sense. But the natural hairline's the favorite of everybody, right? And it's when you're learning SMP, it's what you want to be good at. I would say every SMP
artist. I think it's probably the hardest one to execute over and over and over and over again.
What's your approach?
In terms of how I go about doing natural hairline?
Yeah, so do you, a lot of people like my hairline, do you start an inch? So you draw the lowest point, right? You're like, okay, I can't go any lower than where your forehead wrinkles are. Do you go like, I'm going to draw an inch behind, then I'm going to fade here? Like, what? How do you do it?
Obviously, client specific, but in terms of the process of, in fact, I'll talk about the whole head, if that's okay. I start at the back I always start, say it's a norm of 5 or 6 typically. Let's go with that as an example. I would start at the back. I would spend however long I need to kind of in that one zone right at the back. And I find that that's the area that I am relaxed. I take my time. I don't know about you, but I have different music for different zones of the head. I really do. So typically at the back, I put on Adele. Nice and relaxing. I love Adele.
I love Adele too.
And it just kind of, the client's relaxed. We're just getting through that area. And at that point, I can kind of understand the client's skin. Is it going to be really sensitive? Is it, what kind of pressure do I need to put into it? How quick can I go between each impression? And I kind of just relax and get that section done. I always take a break once I've done the back. I take a break. I take 5 minutes. I move away. I look away from the client. I ask him to stand up if he wants to. He's not allowed to look in the mirror, though. That's the house rule. You're not allowed to see until the end. And then I do the mid-zone. And once I've done that mid-zone, I kind of put the music on, pop music, kind of chart music, something I can kind of sing along to or hum along to. And then it's all about the end. It's all about the main bit, the showstopper, the moneymaker, if you will, which is the hairline. So for me, if I was to do a natural hairline, I would, yeah, probably about half an inch to an inch, give or take, depending on the client, of how much of a fade I want to put in there. I would then, because I'm right-handed and they'll be sitting in a chair, I would always start on their left-hand side. What that means is I'm not going to wipe away the hairline I've spent 45 minutes drawing on and perfecting. And I'll work from the line, slightly above it, slightly below it, slightly on it, and I'll kind of go up and up and up and up in a certain pattern and technique to open up the density and then go into my previous SMP to kind of blend it all together.
Wow. So you're one of the only people I know who start on the back of the head. I start on the back of the head as well, but most people start on the hairline. They'll do a couple dabs right here and they do the hairline. But to me, I'll tell you why I do it. Yeah. I start on the back, one, to warm my arm up. Two, yeah. I'm thinking when I go to take this picture, if I do the back of your head last, it's going to be all smeared. You know, the back of the head, their skin's going to be all wrinkled and red and looking crazy. Yeah. So that's
I like it last. It's exciting. What it means is I'm taking my time at the back. I'm taking my time in the middle. And at the front, I'm not going to rush that. So I'm taking my time all the way through. I find, and I've seen other places, other artists, whatever it may be, who start at the front, which is fine, that works for them. But then they kind of just open up the density more the further they get back, because kind of like the main bit's done. It's a bit like a Christmas tree. It looks great at the front, not very good at the back. But the back is a bit of a giveaway. If the back is looking terrible, then that's as much a giveaway as a bad hairline for me. The back has got to look blended, natural, undetectable, and flow, and the hairline, that's exciting. So like at this point, I'm putting dance music on. It's like a Friday night vibe kind of feel. The client's excited because he's, you know, sat there for 3 hours or so, to have all the back and mid zone done. So he knows it's coming towards the end. I know it's coming towards the end. It's exciting. And so I start back, middle, and then the front.
That's great. Yeah, I do back, hairline, then the middle. But you're right. Doing last, I kind of like that because it forces you to want to do a great job, because you're right. Yeah. Towards the end, people can space it out because they're tired, right? It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while. The person doesn't really see it. But I agree with you. The back is so important. And I think it's under posted, if I'm being completely honest. I used to do it all the time. I should post more because I do spend a lot of time on the back. And blending, you know, the horseshoe is very important.
Yeah. See, I have clients who, it's not all of them, but they're so conscious of the back. You know, that's the giveaway. That's the giveaway. You know, that's the kind of granddad look, if you will, that, you know, we don't want to have. Nothing wrong with being a granddad, but that kind of look is kind of what they want to get rid of.
Yeah.
I remember a client, he flies in and out the country all the time, and he said he's He's not even bothered about the hairline. He's so conscious of people sitting behind him on a plane, looking at the back of his head, that he wanted it, you know, perfect, if there's such a thing. But that was his main goal, get the back done, looking amazing. And then, yeah, obviously had his hairline added as well. But start at the back, hit the middle, finish on the front, go home happy.
Love it. Love it. Do you think you having, obviously your work's great, but do you think having a full head of hair, does that affect you in any way of acquiring new clients?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I have enough clients coming through, which is amazing.
You know what I mean?
It's a bit of an icebreaker, because some of them come in who, more so in the early days, where I think
you're not even bald, Chris.
You're not even bald. They go, oh, fuck, I thought you'd be bald. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, but I'm not. I don't think it does. I don't think it does. And I think if it does, then there shouldn't be, because I put as much care into it as someone who may have already had SNP and gone through the journey. But it's definitely an icebreaker when they're like, fuck, I wish I had your hair. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. But majority of the clients who have SNP have got a beard.
Yeah.
Now, as you can see, Joey, 34 years of age and KRT cannot grow a beard. This is all I've got for you. So, yes, I've got hair on the head, but I don't have a beard.
Well, you have to have one or the other, right? I don't have hair on my head. Now, there's some people who have both. You know, it is what it is. Well, I don't recommend the beard hair transplant because I've seen them up close.
I saw one last week. Was it last week? It was last week. And it looked good.
Really?
You know, I wouldn't have it done. Yeah. And I said this to the client sitting in my chair. But it looked good. I was quite pleased with it. I thought, he wasn't very happy with it, but maybe that's him kind of trying to chase that dream and that goal. But I thought it looked good. I thought it looked decent. But some of them I have seen, they look a little bit rascal, didn't they?
Yeah. Have you ever considered just shaving your head, no guard, just to blend in?
Just to blend in.
Just to take a picture. But like, look, I was bald too. You know,
God, it's marketing a nightmare, but look what SNP can do. No, I haven't. When I was younger, not no guard. I'm a massive David Beckham fan. Okay. Massive David Beckham. So
you think he had a transplant?
Oh, he's had two.
Really?
Yeah, he's had two. I hate to say it because
how do you know that? You're sure?
I know. He has had two hair transplants.
Okay. I was wondering. I was always wondering. I was like, Daddy,
fuck. Yeah, it's so bad to say, isn't it? Because like he's David Beckham. But yeah, I had the curtains when I was younger, and then he just shaved it off.
Yeah.
And it was all over the newspaper. And when I was younger, I used to have all his football boots and number 7, and so I did it. I did the same, shaved my hair because I had to, because Beckham did. But I haven't done it since, and I don't think I will.
Yeah, I dyed my hair blonde because of Eminem, you know, in 7th grade. Yeah, you know, we all do stuff.
So cool. But no, haven't shaved my hair. No intentions to. But I have always said to clients, and I will follow this through. So if everyone looks back on this podcast, if it gets to the point where I do lose my hair, I would have SNP.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go down a transplant route. No.
Good.
I just wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. I work alongside a hair transplant clinic, actually. and the results are good. You know, when the results are good, they're good. But it's a bit inconsistent if they're going to hit and miss for me. And for some people, they're good to go for it. Some people, they're not. For me personally, I would brave the shave and get SNP to do it. But don't ask me how. Don't ask me who I'd get to do it. But I'm going to SNP.
Well, anyone listening, I would trust KRT to do my SNP. If I needed a touch up, and if I was in England, I'd let him do it.
I appreciate that, bro.
So, in England, there's a lot of in England, there's a lot of competition, right? There seems to be a new fucking amazing artist every month. I swear to God, it's like I learn about these people, and it's like, God, there's so many good artists out there. Has it? You think it's affected you at all? Are you getting people from other countries coming in at all?
I finished my third session on my client today from New York. So he flew in. Yeah, I posted it earlier. So if I don't know when this is going to go live, but it's 5th of December at the moment, and I've just posted his third session. Flew in from New York yesterday. Done his treatment today. He's flying back tomorrow afternoon. He looks fucking wicked. I'm so proud of it. I'm so pleased for him. He's a New York actor. He has had a hair system for like 28 years, something silly like that. Yeah, I've never, ever, ever worked on someone who's had a hair system on for that long. And that was where I did it at Garo's. You know, that was his first session there. And Hayden from New Zealand, I'm really good mates with him. And he was like, kind of watching on this session and kind of shadow and see how you go about it. So yeah, I was going into that first session thinking, man, I hope his skin's good and not spongy. And I hope the ink's going to stick.
The adhesive damage, the people that I've worked on, like the glues jacked up their head.
No, he went for the past, he'd been going on tape. And then leading into like 3 weeks into his first session, I was like, you need to get on a couple of sunbeds. You know, I need you to get the skin a little bit weathered. I need you to shave your hair down more and kind of build it up so it's ready. You know, because I didn't want, the last thing I was thinking is I'm going to be in New York. I was in my first session on my first client in America. Hayden from New Zealand sitting in and shadowing. I've got Jonathan, who's been in the game forever, just in the background kind of looking. Please make sure your skin is good. And it was fucking brilliant. I did my first few dots in the crown and I was like, oh, this is good, this is clean. And yeah, so yeah, I finished his third session about 4 hours ago. And then I've got a guy who messaged me this morning at like stupid o'clock in the morning, a guy from Malaysia who's flying in from Kuala Lumpur. In about 6 or 7 days' time. So he's going to be staying here for 8 days so I can get session one done, session two done. And then he's then going to come back in January. We haven't sorted that flight yet. But people are traveling. People are flying in, and it's amazing, man. I'm so grateful for it. It's brilliant.
Isn't it weird when someone's like going to make a whole trip and you're thinking, just for me? You know?
It's absolutely crazy. Like I say, his flight is 18 hours, like, trip.
Yeah.
It's crazy, unbelievable. It's so cool. And it's, like I say, it just goes to show that when people want something done the way they want it and they want it done properly in their eyes and the results that they want, they'll travel. They really will travel. And it's amazing. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I agree. When people travel a long distance to see me and do these things, I almost feel, I don't want to say guilty, but I'm like, I feel, you know what I mean? I feel like, man, you're coming all this way for me. Yeah. You know, I don't know how I feel. I'm happy.
It's amazing. And you tell your friends and family, don't you, who aren't really in the whole SMP kind of world and how it goes. And you're like, yeah, I've got this guy flying in from New York. And he's like, he's flying from New York. And I'm like, yeah, he's flying to Heathrow. And he's then going to get on a 3-hour train up to Birmingham. I'm then going to pick him up from the hotel. He'll come to the studio. I'll do his work. I'll drop him back off. He'll then get a 3-hour train back down to London. And then he'll get a flight home to New York and carry on with his week.
The whole day. Like, so he only came in for one day?
Yeah, flew in yesterday. Did his treatment today. He flies back tomorrow. And that was his third session. He was with me 2 weeks ago, something like that, for his second session. So, yeah, he's flew in, flew out.
Wow.
Yeah, so cool.
That's nuts. A lot of people do what the second guy was doing. They'll stay for a week and then they'll get their next one.
No. So he did first session in New York at Garo's, then second session in Birmingham, flew home. Third session in Birmingham, flew home. Which just goes to show like how amazing it is, really. It really is. And it's changed his life. That's what he said. And it's just so cool to kind of be a part of that and for him to wear your result and be super proud of it. Like, that's so, so cool.
Are you allowed to show his face? Will he let you show his face? when you do the...
On the first session, no. So okay. On his first session, on the first time, because I was like, oh God, I want to show his face, you know, before and after. Yeah. And then when he came to England, he was like, I want you to show everyone. I want you to show the before and after. Like, oh, I'm more than happy. So, yeah, I can show his face now. I think at the start, he was more nervous. I think he was scared. He wore a hair system for so long. Part of his character that he plays in New York is he's got his hair system on. So it was a big thing for him. It was a huge thing for him. So, yeah, he was like, show my face, you know, I'm really happy, I'm really proud of it. And someone else might be going through this kind of air loss worry. So, yeah, show the world. And, yeah, that's what we did. And, yeah, he's so pleased.
I love that. I love when people change their mind after the
third session. Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, yes, I don't have to blur it. Because it always looks better. It always gets more attention when you don't have to blur the face.
I completely agree. When it's blurred, and plus when you put it in a blurring app, you lose
pixelate resolution.
Quality a little bit, yeah. So then, you know, you think, oh, I just want to... And then if you crop it, it doesn't quite look that good. I prefer it when they don't. But ultimately, it's his confidence. And if he feels good to show his face, then you know, amazing. If a client doesn't, then I get it. You know, but this guy, he turned it around and he was so pleased and proud. And yeah, posted it earlier. Super pleased.
I love it. All right. So, Christian, we'll wrap this up. Thank you for sharing that. How can people get in contact with you? How can they order your product? How can they find you?
Yeah, appreciate it. So, at KRTSMP is my Instagram, website, krtsmp.co.uk, nice and simple. Regarding Aurum, my ink, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. It is for my trainees, all of my trainees that I've taught, whether it be in Italy, whether it be in France, Slovakia, Belgium, all these different places that I've been so fortunate to go to, they are available to them. And if you just drop me a DM for the time being, then I can get that sent out and sorted for you. And then, Joey, does it go to the world? I don't know yet. We'll see. We'll see. Okay.